No, I got it on DVD.
Okay.
I didn't want to. I was like, because everything else I had at that point for the Texas Chainsaw series, I buy my physical media depending. If I've upgraded to DVD or 4K, then I'll get it in the same format. Mm-hmm. But I hadn't upgraded my Texas Chainsaw series to Blu-ray at that moment, so I just kept the DVD because I cannot stand going from standard def to high def to standard def. Mm-hmm. Fucks with my eyes. That being said, so yeah, I waited for it to come out mm-hmm. on DVD. I wasn't too...
Oh, we're talking 3D. Texas Chain 3D Texas 2013.
Yeah, okay. Texas Chain 3D. We're segmenting to that now. I wasn't too sure about it. I was cool with it. It was, again, because I'm not comparing it to what came before and after. It's its own movie.
Right.
It's a sequel. I thought it was... here's what I will say. I really loved the first 20 minutes. Yes. I thought that was brilliant, and I wish they would have continued down that path because they nailed it.
Yes. So when the families are coming out to the soldier.
Yeah, yes.
Bill Moseley playing.
Kind of reminds me of his movie Kills, man. Flashback to Haddonfield.
Here's the thing.
It totally does.
The production nailed it because they replicated the house perfectly.
And it felt like it belonged there.
It did. They nailed it, and then it went off on its own thing, and it was a standard slasher film, and I love
even Leatherface. He looked like Leatherface from 74.
He did, and it just... It was a fun movie.
And I like how they even put... Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. No. But they even put Mosley when they're at the dinner table.
Yeah.
Just to give it... So if you were to watch it, it blends in little fade.
And that's what they did it so well. It's like, I wish you would have kept in that moment and it expanded upon what happened immediately afterwards. Because then it cuts over to...
Yeah,
and the time frame, the technology does not match up with the time frame. Like, the movie's off by 20 fucking years.
Right.
That should have been taking place either in the late 80s or early
90s. Well, no, you're onto something. It really should have just picked up like what happened, a couple hours later,
The
investigation, the standoff with the family.
Right.
It was there, and then
I
it was
wish
like...
they would have.
Because beyond that, it's a terrible movie. It really is.
I like it. I enjoy it.
I like it, but here's the thing, Cordo. I like it as a slasher movie. I didn't hold it up to anything else. And here's what it is. I went in there with zero expectations, and after... getting blue balls from the first 20 minutes, watching it play out afterwards, because I've read the reviews and what people found wrong with it.
Yeah, because you told me it was dog shit, so I stayed away for years.
It was, but then when I saw it, I was like, it wasn't that bad. Like, it just felt like, it was a standard, I love slasher movies. It felt, I liked the slasher aspect of it, and again, I wasn't holding it to anything else. It worked. I liked the kids in it. I kind of liked the sympathetic Leatherface. I look at it as an alternative universe version of Texas Chainsaw. I'm not looking at it as like the original stuff. So I think because of that, and I had zero expectations. Sometimes, like you said, when you go in there with something, zero expectations, you end up being a little bit more open to something that you would normally not be open to. And so I was cool with it. Like, I had no problem with it.
Okay, so let me jump in real quick. Like you said, I love the Bill Moseley playing
that was dope.
Drayton or...
But you know why he did it, though?
Friends.
They were actually friends, and he felt like he was the best.
And I agree.
He did it with honor because...
I got chills. If you just see, I have chills to him playing.
Like, he did it right. Like, he did
Gunnar Hansen cameo.
That was dope, by the way.
The opening reminded me of Devil's Rejects with the shootout with the cops. I was cool with that. Like you said, it was blue balls because I wanted them to just explore that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There was so much things they could explore.
I think, and I wonder if it was in terms of money, they just didn't have enough money to really go there, or was it just not in the plan from the foresight?
So now, when they you see Verna's tombstone, it says 2012. So the movie's supposed to take place in 2012, and like they, so that would have made Heather's character, that's the main character, and she's super fine in that. But anyway, so Heather's character would have been 38. And I've seen some amazing looking 38-year-olds.
But none of them
lifetime.
Look like they're...
But none look like she's...
Yeah.
So I wasn't...
Even our friends. No 38-year-old would be hanging around with kids that young.
Right. So Trey Songz, he was fine. He didn't overact. He didn't overextend.
Yeah, I was
good.
Surprised. Like, I was okay with it.
I didn't know it was Trey Songz until you told me. I was like, oh shit, that is Trey Songz. The Latina friend, she was sexy. She was good. She wasn't annoying. The cook was cool. They picked up the guy, the hitchhiker, who's fine. And I was like, oh god, here we go with the hitchhiker again. And I'm thinking Vigo and that type of shit. But it swerved us, and he was robbing him, and then he ended up getting got with Leatherface. And I wasn't mad at this Leatherface because he looked dope with his Verna's sweater on, his Christmas sweater, and like it was cool. I dug it, and then when he's chasing them in the house, when they come across him in the house, and it becomes a horror movie, but then all of a sudden you realize who the real bad guys are, and it becomes an anti-hero movie, and that's where it kind of lost me. And then it has the worst line in the whole franchise: "Do your thing, cuz." And I'm like, oh god.
Yeah, that was cringeworthy. That was
cringeworthy. Had she started crip walking right after, then I would have been a little bit more sympathetic. I would have been with it, but no, she did not, and it was just awful.
Having said that, though, we talked about this earlier. I think Leatherface would be the only villain, probably, that you can kind of buy the right. humanity because of how he just cowers down to his family.
Yes,
yes,
but absolutely. It was a cringy line. I'll give you that.
Oh, absolutely.
And but I, you know, I enjoy it. It's an easy watch. It doesn't overstay its right. welcome.
Yep.
And it
it's
it
a sense
flows.
Of fun. It's a sense of fun.
It's just a fun little something. You know what I'm saying? Right, and right. I'm mad at it. He ready to jump in like double dutch. I can tell.
No. Good. I'm
go ahead.
You got the floor, my friend.
Yeah, it's all you. It's all you. Now, why do you hate it?
Didn't like it. I just saw it just a few weeks ago, and
Netflix.
Yeah, on Netflix.
Did you have zero expectations, or did you?
Yeah, I had zero expectations. I mean, because when I saw the trailer, I mean, I remember when it came out in 2013, it got bad reviews. And,
yep.
And I kind of felt like, yeah, no, this franchise might be kind of done. you know, it's bad. I mean, and it's exactly the reason you said that complete 180 when she, one minute she's scared of them, next thing you know, they're buddies. They're taking, right. They're taking
and he's
down.
He's putting the saw like it's his dick on her shoulder. I'm like, come on, bro.
Well, they got to take down the bankers or the investors that were taking. I was like, this is goofy. And the characters are kind of cliched. I mean, once again, we got the cheating boyfriend. Right. I mean, it's like, how many times have we seen
right.
this?
Yeah, right.
You know, and this on Halloween was guilty of it too. Halloween 2018 is guilty right. of it. And that's something I liked about Scream. You know, if you guys, you know, get around talking about that, you know, I don't want to jump.
Yeah,
we're
gonna Scream in another day, but yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but you know, the fact that you know Maureen Prescott did all this, and I mean, you rarely see women putting that. You know, it's like because anybody can cheat in a relationship, right. not just men.
Right.
You know, I just feel like, you know, it's kind of nice to shift that on the female character right. every so often. But, you know, it just wasn't a good movie, man. I didn't like the way, you know, Leatherface, the way he looked, too. And they picked up the hitchhiker. That was stupid. Nobody would leave. I mean, you just met this guy.
Right. And then you're going to leave him at the house.
He's going to cook dinner for you. I mean, come on. You could see that coming a mile away.
Oh, I totally agree.
And, you know, it just like, and that's what I'm saying, like, in the 2003 remake and even the prequel in 2006, they didn't really make those dumb mistakes. Right. And that was set in the 70s, where right. it was probably right. a little bit more acceptable. You know, you're probably more apt to take people, you know, at face value back right. then. But this movie was set in present day, you know, well right. into the 21st century, you know. And,
yeah, here's you know, 60 bucks for gas.
Yeah, you know, we're a bit more cynical, and, you know, right. and to leave him in a house, I got no more to say. It was really bad. I'm glad I saw it for free on Netflix. Didn't have to pay any money to see it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and as bad as that film is, it's going to get worse.
Okay. It seems like there's always that one movie takes a screenshot where one of us is really fucking despised.
What do you think about it, all right, Mike?
Yeah, that's pretty much my sentiments. It was overdone, well done, been done. You know, you kind of went through the whole thing with the annoying. I didn't like the characters too much. They were kind of.
Yeah,
annoying. The cheating, like yeah, you talked
yes,
about.
Like we've seen that so many.
Well, they were both. It was a girl and a guy.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, and I mean, I didn't mean to focus on just a boyfriend, yeah, yeah. but you know, it's typically always a guy. They try right. to say, but the girlfriend too. But once again, it's just the final girl. You know, she thinks she has a really loving boyfriend, right, right. And it's just like. Yeah.
Well, at least Trey Songz didn't do a spin kick. That's all I got to say.
Trey Songz used his own song in the yeah. Picture,
first of right? all, yeah. Trey Songz is no Busta Bus.
No, he's definitely not. Shout out Busta Bus. Shout out Freddie Resurrection. No, but you know, it was
Danger
it ranks pretty low. It ranks yeah. pretty low on my list, man. What else could I say about it? Oh, the hitchhiker thing. That's another great point, man. It was like, why would you pick this cat up right. in the rain?
And he has his shirt on halfway open.
Wait, on the way to a place to a family you never met or right. knew you even,
I know,
you
right,
even
right.
a part business, of. Family business shit.
You didn't even know you were a part of this yeah. this family, and I just thought that was not it's, logical.
And the fact that she did a 180, now she's accessory to murder. She's controlling.
Right. right.
You know.
And the sheriff just let it slide.
You know, yeah, it just.
Not logical.
And the sheriff, he was kind of a cool, interesting character, right. you know, because he really was trying to do some good.
Clint Eastwood.
Texas right. Justice.
No. That was the
deputy.
That was the deputy, yeah.
Was that Clint? One of Clint's sons?
Yeah, Scott Eastwood.
That was Scott Eastwood?
Yeah, he was a scumbag.
That's right. He was one that he threw the chainsaw at him, he ducked at the carnival. Was that?
I don't know.
Yes. That was a great kill. I like that kill.
No, but he didn't get killed. He ducked.
It was you're right. No, my bad.
That was the Friday the 13th Part 3 yo-yos.
You're right.
3D camera, so they was like, yeah, you know, got to do something with it.
Yeah, that was whack.
Yeah.
I liked his look. I wasn't mad at his look. I thought he had good gear. I liked the Christmas sweater. Kind of like Karen in Halloween it's Halloween and Karen's rocking.
You're not going to convince him. Let it go.
All right. I'm just saying. So, yeah, as far as horror prequels, I think one of the stronger ones is Leatherface from 2017. It gets shitted on a lot.
And it doesn't deserve it. It's actually unjust. Really good.
I mean, my wife's not a big horror fan at all. And we watched it last night, and she dug it. The reason why I like it so much, and my top five of the Texas Chains, not to jump ahead, they're all different. Even though they're all in Texas Chainsaw, and, right. But they're all different feels. And this one had a different feel. It was true to the characters from the 1974, because you see Drayton, you see Drayton younger. Oh, okay. You see Nubbins later on, and you think, and it has a nice little swerve. I don't know if you want to, but we're gonna spoilers. Okay. So you see a character, and when I first watched it in 2017, I thought the skinny character, and then you see a fatter character, and the way they're acting, I'm thinking one is gonna be the hitchhiker, right, and then one's gonna be Leatherface, and they're. Stephen Dorff, Stephen Dorff has a vendetta against the Sawyers, and he takes their kids from Verna Sawyer, who's played by
Lily Tyler.
Dude, and the acting between Stephen Dorff and Lily Tyler is excellent. Like, acting wise, I think this is the strongest in the franchise. Like, even with Viggo and Matthew McConaughey and Dennis Hopper, I don't know. I'm just a big
I think in terms Dorff of fan. In terms of dramatic acting, I would agree
back
with you.
The back and forth. She's just so good.
Not like horror act, not like terror acting, but in terms of just dramatic acting. Right. You know what I mean? Strong characters who are fighting for something.
Right.
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. So Verna is the mother, and actually she has Marilyn Burns' last cameo or last. Time you see her in is actually in Texas Chain 3D. She's the old lady writing the letter to Heather.
Okay.
That's right. Marilyn Burns. So Verna plays the young version of that. And she's the patriarch. So this is the prequel to the Texas Chain 3D. So it's like Leatherface, Texas Chain 1974, and then Texas Chain 3D.
So these are Hewitts then, right?
No, these are Sawyers.
The original crew is the Sawyers. Yeah. Okay. The Platinum Dunes family is the Hewitts.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So even Vito agreed. He said watching Leatherface made him like the Texas 3D.
It raised the stock in it. I'm not saying it raised it a whole lot, but because I was cool with the 3D one. But it raised it up enough to where I felt like two unique bookends to the original movie.
It's kind of like the Clone Wars animated series.
Yes.
Where it raises the stock for the prequels.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. I'm not even... Yeah, seriously. And then not only that, Stephen Dorff is just a son of a bitch in it. He plays the corrupt sheriff.
Played it so passionately.
Passionately because they killed his daughter. Yeah. So you understand his
beef. He had a reason, yeah.
He had a beef.
The layer there for him, for his fight to
kill. So sorry about the spoiler killing, but the fat kid gets killed, the one that you think is going to be Leatherface.
Right.
And then you find out that the kid that you thought was the hitchhiker is actually Jebediah Sawyer, and he becomes Leatherface because he gets shot in the face and his face splits open.
It was also kind of heartbreaking to see him as a kid. They wanted him to kill, and he was like, remember, he didn't want to do it, you know?
Yeah. Was he still mentally challenged?
It shows you that this...
But you see how he gets...
He gets broken. He gets, it shows you you're not born this way. Your environment creates you, and there were hints of what he's going to become early in the film when he was hiding underneath the pig with the pig head.
Right.
Yeah. Like, he was already on that path.
Right.
And then when they took him away, you can sense there was some mental healing in there, and then just...
Explosion.
But again, I mean, I take some points away for the bad guy and his girlfriend holding the three of them hostage on walking.
Yeah,
that ain't gonna happen.
I didn't believe
you can overpower that guy,
right? Especially eventually Bud, who we assume at the time.
Yeah, but they felt like they were
curb stomps, dude.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That could have been done two scenes back.
But it felt like they were kind of hanging together anyway, where they were at. Like, they had a little bit of a bond, especially with Bud. And that dude, because they're both about to get lobotomized, and so you kind of feel that camaraderie, like you're in there with you, and you have no one else, so you work with what you got.
Right.
Yeah, when Dorff shoots her in the head, though.
Dorff was a son of a bitch in that movie, bro.
Right? Yeah. But justified, though.
Justified,
You know what I mean?
Yep.
That movie, I was telling Spawn earlier, it felt like, and I could be wrong, but I don't think that movie had a big budget, but it felt like they were very smart with the budget,
right?
And they maximized every
penny. Every minute gets maximized. All right,
let me ask you guys a question. if Stephen Dorff's character locked horns with Sheriff Hoyt, who would win?
Dorff. No doubt.
Dorff all day, I would think.
I would say...
At those ages.
03, Hoyt may have gotten the advantage.
No.
Really? Okay.
Only if it's verbally. Or verbally, you know, I got Hoyt. But if in, like, badassery, I go with this dude. Because he'll...
I think it's a close. I think it would have been close because 03 Hoyt was just... Fucking gnarly, dude.
Yeah, but I don't know. I go this
maybe, way. Maybe now that I think of it, maybe Dorff, because you know, here's the thing about Dorff. He wasn't about much lip service. He was quick with actions.
He was bucking, bro.
Hoyt would bully you, but Dorff's character was, he was on a mission. He already knew you were going to be dead anyway. Yep. He just wanted to let you know what was going to happen. Yep. And then when he no longer needed you, you're have done. Any use, boom.
Yep.
Okay. So let's move on to the final one, and I wanted to get to this, and this is the Netflix one that came out, right? So I know you've been chomping at the bit over there, Corey.
Woo! Let's get in this one.
I will admit, the first day I saw it,
right,
I was shitting on it.
Me too. Remember we talked?
It changed literally that week. Yep. I started watching it again and again and again. So let me hear your thoughts, Corey, on the new one.
It's all about character, okay? And you guys even said it yourselves in all the previous ones you mentioned. Sally Hardesty was broken. She was a broken woman at the end of the original. They even re-emphasized that in Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. She sunk into a state of catatonia. Yeah. And I didn't even know until you told me in 3 they show her messed up.
Yeah.
So how in the world does she come back and become John Wick?
Right.
I mean, we know why, because of a certain other horror movie franchise where, you know, they turned the final girl into a super soldier.
Right. Love Lori.
It doesn't work. It just doesn't work.
Lori was catatonic at one point.
Lori Strode was a much different character. I mean, Lori Strode was a fighter even when the original Halloween, when you saw her. I mean, okay. She made the clothesline, jabbed my boy in the eye, and hit him with the knife and stuff like that. And, you know, you have a lot more to work with Lori Strode also. You know, going from Halloween 2 and then H20 and stuff, even though David Gordon Green kind of, you know.
And Resurrection.
You know,
shout out Resurrection.
Okay, he set the little mouse
trap. Danger Entertainment.
She set the little mouse trap for Michael. but this movie is like when I saw the trailer and I mean I've been waiting 40 years. Like no, come on.
They don't do that now, right? You know what I mean?
You know, and then on top of that, here's another thing too, which is interesting, because you say you guys next one you guys are going to do a Scream. The interesting thing about, it's funny too, you pick those back to back, you know, to do those one after another. But the interesting thing about Scream and Texas Chainsaw Massacre is that of these franchises, they're the two that are the most grounded, right, in reality.
Very great point.
And even the villains both have a similar name, Ghostface, Leatherface.
Great point.
So it's 2012, and Sally Hardesty in 74 was probably 20, 30. Now she's... This woman's got to be, she looked like she was every bit pushing 80. And that's the case. Leatherface has got to be in his 80s or 90s. Why would he wouldn't even have the physical strength to do what he did in this new movie.
Never underestimate old man strength.
Exactly. My grandpa, yo, before he got real sick, yo, I used to try to wrestle with him, and he'd get me in the arm bar.
I'm not down there. My grandfather, remember, I came home from the Navy. I forget my first or second year. You know, I'm young. I'm doing push-ups and stuff. And my grandfather's like in his 60s, and he's buff machine. I shook hands, he yanked me over the dinner table, man. Right. You know, so I know I get that. But this movie just fell apart. The kids, I mean, I thought the girl was cute with the curly hair. I thought she was really cute. Are we allowed to say spoilers?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, 100% spoilers.
I just want to, you know, for people who haven't seen it, for people who haven't seen this yet, spoilers, you might want to tune out right now. Give you a couple seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Fuck, I'm living half it now.
The girl with the curly hair, she gets beheaded at the end by Leatherface, and
super dope scene.
And I was kind of, yeah, it was fun.
It was, yeah.
But I kind of liked her. She was cute. But overall, I just, these are once again plug-in characters. I mean, they don't have the interesting aspect. You know, they don't have the personality of the Scream characters or even Laurie Strode or, you know, right, those characters. It's just, these are just disposable characters.
Right.
And then they try to be meta like Scream. You know. Dude, we'll cancel you. And,
and no one says that. Yeah, it just happens.
Yeah, you know, yeah. It's just like, it's like they were trying to be cool. You know, you can't make cool happen. It has to happen naturally, you know. It's just, cool is something that when all the chips fall into place, the fates are in your favor, and that's when something really neat happens.
Sure. Right.
They were trying to, like, you know, almost like the people try to create a Quibi. You know, that thing came and went. But this movie, just, I think it's a toss-up, but between this one and the 3D one is one of the worst.
Well, Corey, I was going to jump in here late and say, you know, so with the 2022 version, it's actually a requel to the original 1974. I know you mentioned what they said about
her being catatonic and that.
2, 3, and 4 and everything else.
Nothing exists.
Nothing exists. It only connects to 74. So
okay, but I'll go to that. But even with 74, you can look at the end of the movie. She would never come back to that. Look at her at the end of the movie. Yeah. I mean, she was out of her mind to beg at pickup truck. I mean, look at it again.
Why would Sally Hardesty
would never ever come back to that? Yeah. And that's why I can't buy this movie. You know, it's like, no, she would never come back to that scene. Yeah. She would get as far away from that as possible.
Now, I could see Stretch in that role come back.
Yes, I would agree.
Stretch was not having it.
But Stretch doesn't exist in this universe, though.
Right. No. I'm just saying. Well, like, yeah, if you wanted to bring somebody back in that particular role in this franchise, the only one I could see come back would be Stretch.
Okay, I mean, if you
remember, she was, yo, I'm telling you, she was dropping bows on fucking Chop-Tot on the stairs, and she, boom, fucked him up.
But here's the thing, I think the point is, though, this movie, I really do feel this movie was a product of Halloween 2018.
Oh, of course it is. I mean, it's trying to, they're aping Laurie Strode, and that works for Laurie Strode.
Does not work for Laurie Strode, but again.
It works better for Laurie Strode and Sally Hansen because we have a history of Laurie Strode.
Yes.
We've seen Laurie Strode in different
iterations.
Yes. It's only really been kind of two iterations, but still, it works better with that character than it does Sally Hardesty. Sally Hardesty is a one and done character. She
absolutely
really is.
Absolutely.
You know, she doesn't have the legacy of Laurie Strode.
Yep.
So that's why Halloween 2018 works. And let's face it, Halloween's a bigger brand name. A bigger brand.
It is.
Bigger
marquee.
Myers is more marquee than
Michael Myers is more pop culture at this point. But I will say this though about 2022. And I think I made this example before too. I love The Dark Knight Returns by help me out here,
Christopher Nolan?
No, the comic book writer.
Frank Miller.
So I love the fact that we can't change who we are. We come back as an older person. Mm-hmm. So I love the second chance of Leatherface being that again. You know what I mean? Yep. The older, you can't change who you are.
Right.
I'm not asking him to change. I just don't feel like he was getting around like a young man in his 20s. I'm like, Leatherface has got to be.
I'll watch it again. I was sure if my boy at the barbershop was saying, yo.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, we do that.
He's got mad cardio.
Yeah.
He always has. You know?
He always has. I mean, he's right. Jesse Owens in all these shits. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, like, if you're making a comparison to The Dark Knight.
But he's also, like, kind of limping, older, and tired.
Okay, but you made a comparison to Frank Miller's Dark Knight. I'm a big comic book fan. Batman's my second favorite character. You got to understand who Batman is. This is a man who's always stayed in peak physical condition. The greatest athlete on the planet, so I could see Batman.
Well, remember, he was drinking for 10 years, though.
He wasn't really drinking, but he was faking it. But I could see Batman doing what he does at age 60 because, and even then, in Dark Knight, they acknowledge that he can't do what he did when he was younger man.
Oh, no doubt, but I still like
the book where he's like, there was a time when I didn't need my legs to climb a rope. So even Batman, even age catches up with Batman.
Right.
But Leatherface, if you look at the original, he's a fat slob in the original. I mean, they eat meat. Okay, all they do is eat red meat. That catches up with you eventually.
Right.
It does, but you can't.
So he should have had diabetes, Leatherface.
Well, but what I'm saying, but I guess my point is this. So I dislike.
He should have sawed his own leg off.
I just like the fact that things that we liked as kids still come back. I thought that was still cool to see. You know, again, a second version of Old Man Leatherface. Mm-hmm. I did enjoy the meta aspects of it because, again, goes back to Halloween Kills. It goes back to the new Star Wars trilogy. I'm okay with them speaking to Generation Z and Millennials. I get it because you need the younger generations to keep funneling things out, just like we did our part in the 80s and 90s and 2000s. I get it. It's for that type of audience, and I'm okay with kind of sizing and be like, you know what? I kind of need you guys. I need to relate to you guys so you guys can pump money into this franchise so we can keep getting it. Because every generation, you need that revenue. You need that connection to help funding products so we can keep getting them. And I know a lot of people may not care for it. And because we're all the same generation. Like, I know you had an issue with how they were acting, and I get it. But it wasn't speaking to our generation. It was speaking to
younger. I think that this one had the Generation Z and the Millennials versus instead of what you're saying.
I feel like
it was more like a versus than like you know, enough, and we're going to just cut through it, hence the bus scene. Go ahead.
I disagree with you, Vito. I think by putting in these meta things, I think in a way you're kind of talking down to the generation, and like they know. Okay, they know.
Making fun.
Yeah, it's like they see this. It's like, this isn't funny, you know. It's like, okay, that's not, you know, the whole cancel culture. We get that. Instead of just really writing a good story, writing some interesting characters. Nothing trumps interesting characters.
Yes.
Nothing trumps good acting.
Absolutely.
Nothing trumps a well-written story. Okay, you can put in all the meta tricks you want to. It doesn't work.
Oh, agreed.
I think the Generation Z hated the movies. I mean, the younger generation, I don't think they're going to dig this movie. You know, you don't really have to be, you know, a specific age group. Right. I mean, look, someone's always going to like something.
Yes.
Yeah, that, you know, there's people out there that like Batman and Robin, you know. There's a very small pool of them.
Chill out.
You know, but this film, you know, I think, you know, they saw what worked for Halloween. They want to jump on a bandwagon. And that's nothing new. I mean, horror, you know, as a genre, they're always chasing trends. I mean, right. You know, when Scream came out, sorry, going back to Scream, you know, after Scream came out, we started getting
the meta film.
Summer.
Urban legend,
you know. Yeah. So sorry.
And those are great in their own right.
I get it, but this movie just was so hackneyed. The characters were not interesting. They could have been interesting.
All right.
I agree. It wasn't a believable premise that these kids are going to buy this town.
Yeah,
it was absurd. You know what I mean? That they're going to go in there. And they had the money to buy. Who was going to go there when they did buy it?
Right,
and then, out in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Right, 7 hours away.
You talk about overpowering. How they could overpower Hui? He had a whole bus full of people, man. I mean, someone could have got him down.
He got a chainsaw.
Who's going to get at him?
He maybe got one or two people, but they eventually would have got him, got that chainsaw off his hand.
But we have to understand, though, these movies are a bit of fantasy, and if we had reality fully set in, we wouldn't have a movie. You got to kind of have a little bit of that magic, a little bit of that kind of just fantasy element so we can root for that. Because, again, too, we don't root for Michael Myers or Jason Voorhees or Leatherface because they're like us. They're like you said, like comic book heroes, except for they're the villain. So they're doing things we can never do. And so you kind of have to accept that. And I agree with you. In any other reality case, you're absolutely in the real world, he would have been overpowered. Right. But I don't want an underpowered reality-based Leatherface. I want something that I can still root for. I want something that's, you know, a little bit of fantasy, because that's why I'm watching this movie.
Well,
you know?
So I loved it. I hated it at first, right? Well, I mean, I didn't hate it.
You hated it.
I shitted on the characters and the bad decision making.
You shitted on everything when you talked to me about it.
No, I shitted on the bad characters that I don't like, which I have a bad problem. If you look at the Halloweens and you look at the Fridays when we discuss it and we break down the franchises, unlikable characters are disposable and garbage, like he said. So I hated the characters, I hated the dialogue, and I hated the bad decisions. Oh, I'm going to go with the lady had a heart attack. I'm going to go with them. But what I loved was the carnage, the blood. He breaks dude's arm, stabs him in the neck with his arm bone.
I'll give you that.
This is the first time that we've ever seen Leatherface with his own motivation.
Yep.
So this is the first time that Leatherface is pissed off, and I'm going to take it out on y'all. Y'all killed this woman that took care of me after my family was abandoned and my brother died and blah, blah, blah. So I lost something, and I'm going to take it out on y'all. And he's killing him. He's after the old girl. And I just thought he was excellent. I thought this version of Leatherface was dope. And the way it was filmed when he pops up out of the sunflowers.
That was so surreal. That was dope.
Dude, there was only one weak kill. So all of a sudden he kills the sheriff with like a log that he somehow finds. Mm. But then he stabs the chick in the stomach with it looks like a paper cut on her gut. But other than that, the kills were dope. Like when Dante's face is split right open. I from that point on, the movie jumps up. Because the movie I was on the fence with it. I was hating on it. I was texting y'all. But when you turn around and you see Dante's face split, that's when the movie jumps. And that's what that's why it's high on my list.
Any last thoughts?
Double Dutch. He's ready to jump.
When he broke the arm, it was neat. But then again, it wasn't. Because here's the thing. When Leatherface starts doing that, now he's up in Voorhees territory. He's up in Krueger, Michael. Now the supernatural strength. Leatherface is not supernatural. These other guys are. I mean, they let you know pretty much from the get-go. You know, Michael Myers is more than just a man. Jason Voorhees is more than just his man. Krueger is full-blown supernatural.
Oh, yeah.
Leatherface has always been grounded, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the cool thing about Leatherface and Ghostface. With enough moxie and luck, you can actually beat these guys.
Right.
Yeah. You know, or girl.
That's a good point.
Ghostface can be anybody.
Right. Yes.
They can be defeated. You go, when you start getting to Myers, Voorhees, and these guys are... They're like the Captain Americas, the Thors, and, you know, these guys, you know.
And then Leatherface and Ghostface are like Punisher and Daredevil?
Yeah, he's going to say that. I mean, but, you know, it's like he's gotten too superhuman now. You know, like I said, the way and stuff he was, just the punishment he was taking. I mean, what made the original movie so cool, especially, I go back to the 74, And even in the part two, you know, he can be hurt, and he's kind of dumb too. That's what I liked about the '74, like yeah. when he threw the dude, hit him with a wrench, and he dropped the chainsaw. And I was like,
but you know,
somebody's limping, and
I like what Corey, and I agree with everything with what Corey's saying, and I think it's because, and you brought up a good point. Like Captain America's the Thors and all that, right? And I think
Leatherface, I'm not always about grounding things because I love fantasy.
Oh, no doubt.
But I feel like this was the whole point of Leatherface, because remember, he's loosely based on Ed Gein,
right? Yes.
Who was a real killer.
Right. Yep.
Okay. And you know, so it's like he's never been like these other characters.
Right. But you brought up a good point though, and I was gonna say I think is the comic book element is what I like, because again, I love watching. I'm a big comic book fan. I love the Marvel films. I love the DC films. So maybe that's why I was able to digest one easier and accept it, because it was, and I agree with you, you're right, it was comic book based the way he was taking it, and it was shot so well, in my opinion, I was good with that, because in your afterword, I didn't think about that. It is very comic book-like, and I think I was okay with a comic book-like-esque Texas Chainsaw. I never had that before, and so maybe that's why I'm cool with it, because one, it's a one and done,
right?
Hopefully.
Well, no, at the end, there's a post-credit scene where he shows up at the house from 1970.
Oh, you're right. But I would be up for a comic book-esque horror film with Leatherface, I guess, okay. At this point. Not full-on overblown Marvel, you know what I mean? Right. But I agree with you. You're absolutely right. He's doing things that would be physically impossible for what is a grounded character.
And an old character, too, at this point, man. The guy is like 80.
But I've had like eight movies of a grounded Leatherface, so maybe I was... Okay. I would say this. I was okay with it, because the way it was shot,
It was easy watch. It's an easy watch. And it's a fun popcorn movie. And at this point, I don't hold it in the regard that I do of Michael Myers and Jason and Freddy, where if they do something that really pisses me off, I hate it forever. Like we said earlier, Resurrection. You know what I'm saying? So I'm a little bit more lenient on this.
Because it's fractured, because it always stopped and go different iterations. Exactly. So I guess I
was cool with this.
Yeah, and I think that's why I'm cool with it too, because it's been so... There's not been a consistent series with Texas. You know what I mean? You've always...
No, but there's been a consistent tone of fact that he is a grounded killer.
Agreed.
You know, like Jigsaw.
So
you know, like I said, like Ghostface.
Right.
You know, he can be defeated.
Right.
You know, it's just that the what gives Leatherface the edge all the time, and it's really to the movie's weakness in a way, is that people are always on his territory, on his terms,
right?
And that's why he's always successful. We don't really get a Texas Chainsaw Massacre where Leatherface is not on his terms, where he's put into another environment where he's unfamiliar with. I mean, the original movie, he knew that whole area, so you know, he was going to eventually probably catch Sally, you know, anyway. Yeah. You know, and the same with the second movie. I mean, this guy, he's grown up and he's backwood roads of Texas, so he knows like the back of his hand. So and that's always to me been his greatest, you know, asset, is that he knows the land.
Right.
You know, so
the lay of the land, yeah, absolutely.
You know, and that's what gives him an edge. But you know, if you're strong enough and fight back and you're lucky and a little moxie on your part, you can beat
Leatherface.
You can beat Leatherface. He can be defeated.
So let me give you my top nine. So I'm gonna start from the bottom and then work my way up.
Yeah. Just run through it.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna run through it.
Yeah,
Next Generation. Garbage. That's the bottom of the
list.
What
a dick.
Leatherface, Texas Chain 3. I love it, but it just doesn't, you know, it's not, I don't know, it's just something missing on it. It was because it was new.
The gore.
But yeah, but I did enjoy Texas Chain 3. The beginning, the 06, I'm okay with it. It was a great film, like you said, the way it was filmed. Texas Chain 3D, that line, do your thing, cuz, and no crip walking, forget about it. The Netflix one is my number five. I have a lot of problems with the characters, but the gore and the carnage and the kills, just like Halloween Kills. It's a shit movie.
Basura.
You garbage. Bastard.
Basura,
but
garbage.
The kills are just, I'm there for that. At this point, as a horror fan, unfortunately, that's what all we have at this point.
I blasphemy.
So I'm going to go, and I just changed it again. So I'm going to go Leatherface in my number four, the 2017. My number three remake, which is excellent, and then two, Texas Chain 2, and then number one is the 74.
V,
what's your?
Am I top 10?
Yeah, you're top 9.
Well, okay, top 9. I'm gonna go with this: 74, number 86. I'll be honest with you. I have Leatherface, Texas Chainsaw 3, tied with the 03. I think they're both that well done. I mean, they don't capture the magic of the first two, but they tie my spot at number three. For number four, I'm going to say it's a tie between Next Generation. Yeah, I'm going to piss you guys off for this one. 2022. And then number five, definitely Leatherface.
Threw up in my mouth.
2017. And then after that, Texas Chainsaw 3D. And of course, at the very, very bottom, The Beginning.
All right. That Oh, you haven't seen?
Oh, no, I can knock mine out real quick.
Okay.
Vying for, at a tie, vying for the bottom spot at a tie is 2022 and 2013. They're both really bad movies. They're both at the bottom of the barrel for me. And then the next bad one, in my opinion, would be probably
1990.
Don't influence his
I'm just asking.
Let the man
I love
speak.
1990, bro. Come on.
You put it at the bottom.
I'm going to, you know, I'll say the 06 one. And then would be, because I didn't have a problem with 06, but and it's been a long time since I've seen, you know, Leatherface, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3, but I did like the fact that Ken Foray survived, so I'll give it props for that. So I'll put that one, you know, the next one up. After that, let's see, did I miss anything? And then number three here, and then these would be the top three, because I didn't see Leatherface, the Stephen Dorff one, I didn't see the McConaughey one, so at third place would be the 03 remake. Number two is the 1986 one by Tobe Hooper. Then, of course, the original by Tobe Hooper is number one for me.
My man, I agree with him.
Yeah. So, Iron Mike, what you got?
I got, so bottom of the barrel for me.
I want to hear it. Vito's area. All
right. So bottom of the barrel for me at nine.
Oh!
Coming in strong is New Generation.
Oh. That pains me, sir. I rode with you in Resurrection.
I know, man. So eight, which I changed from seven earlier, but eight's going to be the 3D. Yeah, that ranked pretty low for me. Seven I have, which pains me too, because I like Jordana, but The Beginning, you know. What do we got? Six is, wow, that's kind of low though, but TCM part two.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, you know what? I did it this morning, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You just saw it for the first time.
You got so, it's like wine, yeah, my friend. You got to let it marinate.
So yeah. A little asterisk on that. So, but I do like three better than that one. So at five, where am I? Yeah. Five, I have the Netflix one. I enjoyed that one, man.
Wow.
Four is part three. And then coming in at three is Leatherface. Leatherface was strong to me.
And another thing, you know. 2022. So she's all geared up like John Wick, man. Yeah. She's got guns out
there. And then she gets sawed right in half.
Just to get right up all of them, then the gun jams up.
No, that was the other girl.
No, wait, it doesn't matter. I mean, all them guns she had, I mean, come on, man, really?
Number two,
that old trope.
Two is the Jessica Biel one, and then, of course, number one is the OG one.
All right, we all in agreement.
Let me see your OG. Chainsaw, man. Now, what's up,
I got it like a...
That is the slowest chainsaw I've ever fucking seen.
I haven't done the battery in a long time, but my dog gets scared of it. I'll be like, and then he bites at it.
It doesn't do you no good when you shake it and it stops working, my friend.
Corey, what
no,
figure was stopped. That you had that you showed us?
If
you could point it towards that camera just so we could see it later.
Oh, it was just the, I brought the, had the Blu-rays.
I thought you had a figure too.
No, I didn't bring a figure. Okay. It's funny. I have pre-ordered the Mezco. I don't know if you've heard of Mezco toys.
Right. Yeah.
They know they're doing a Leatherface. And so I got on pre-order. I already have Jason, Michael, and Freddy. So once I put the whole four together, it'd be like the Justice League of Evil.
Oh, that'd be dope.
You know, I mean, I thought about Pennywise, but Pennywise just really doesn't belong to boys.
I would
man.
Put Chucky. I would throw Chucky in there.
No, hell no. Pennywise got to wait for Chucky.
Yeah, I'll put Chucky in there.
I can't fucking.
I'm telling you, I hated Chucky for years.
And you know what? I still hate Chucky.
Rewatch. I'm telling you, watch the last two. Cult.
I'm cool on Chucky. I'm cool on Chucky, man.
I did like The Bride and the Seed of Chucky.
No, those were garbage.
I'm cool. Y'all, Chucky to me is just riding on Freddy's coattails, trying to mix comedy with horror, and it just
didn't work.
This doesn't work, man.
All right, fellas. We're going to have to close it out here.
All right.
Thanks for joining us.
All right.
Thanks, everybody, for watching, and we'll see you on the next one.
Peace. All right.